Something Was Wrong is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Something Was Wrong is intended for mature audiences and discusses topics that may be upsetting. This season discusses sexual, physical, and psychological violence. Please consume the following episodes with care. For a full content warning, sources, and resources for each individual episode, please visit the episode notes. Opinions shared by the guests of the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of Broken Cycle Media. The podcast and any linked materials should not be misconstrued as a substitution for legal or medical advice. Thank you so much for listening.
You think you know me, you don't know me well at all. You don't know anybody till you talk to someone.
Hello, friends. I am so excited to be here today with Amy and Lauren from our team. What came next? Updates, highlights, upcoming episodes. Amy, what's going on in the what came next side of things?
Yeah, I think what's always shocking to me, nearly 175 episodes in, is that there's always another survivor and victim and voice to be amplifying, whose experiences can be so exemplary, but also vastly unique at the same time. Recently, we've had the honor of hosting Marina Lacerda, who is a survivor notoriously of Jeffrey Epstein and also was named Minor Victim One in New York. She has been working so hard and diligently in Washington and on podcasts and TV and beyond to really bring awareness to what's happening with survivors of that case specifically, but also survivors of sexual and gender-based violences. We also have an incredible couple of episodes featuring Tracy Hall, who was on the podcast, Who the Hell is Hamish? She goes into like what has happened since the podcast and what she's been cultivating. We don't often get to update listeners on what came next original interviews rather than like Something Was Wrong interviews, but we have an update episode with Vanessa Reiser dropping because she has had a lot going on actually since we last spoke to her almost 2 years ago when her interview came out on What Came Next. That will be coming out shortly too. An interview that was over a year in the making. Nicole Schmidt, who is Gabby Petito's mom, was gracious enough to give us time. Her schedule is very busy and she has a foundation, the Gabby Petito Foundation. She also gave us some exclusive information about what she's got coming next, which I think podcast listeners will be very interested in hearing about. The episode is titled Nicole Schmidt, Her Voice is So Big. And it was really an honor to give her that platform to share some updates and exciting news.
On March 3rd of this year, What Came Next celebrated 3 years. Happy birthday. What stands out to you today, Amy, when you think back on the 3 years that you have invested into this community and bringing forth these stories? What are your main takeaways? What are some of the things that you've learned along the way?
We entered the process of creating this show with the mission in mind of really amplifying survivors' voices and highlighting the power of the media and the responsibility with which the media should be telling these stories. And it brings tears to my eyes because I'm so proud of what we've done in those 3 years. Sometimes when you're in like go mode, you don't realize 3 years, which is just a huge achievement. What's been validated is I think we are in an emotional revolution at this moment in society. I think that people are learning and growing and evolving. I think the next step after this awareness is like a call to action. And all the things I'm learning from this beautiful position, I'm learning it doesn't have to be this way. And I'm learning that we do have that power. Dr. Badera, I think she said, name, blame, and claim. That's the process of making change. So now we're naming these things and we're finding where the holes are in the systems that keep perpetuating these things. And now we're going to claim this power to change it all. It's so empowering and beautiful to be a part of this movement, and all the survivors that have joined us as guests on What Came Next are part of that movement.
We're so proud of you. You've set out to accomplish everything that you wanted for the show from the beginning. You've cultivated such an incredible community. I know your mom is so proud of you. She's so thankful for the way you've continued to highlight her legacy. You continue to fight for her. You continue to fight for victims everywhere, and you continue to educate. Your mom was such an advocate for education. Switching gears to Q&A. There's quite a few questions here that are for all of us to get us started. So what are three things that you're obsessed with right now? It could be books, documentaries, shows, food, podcasts, music, general recommendations, whatever it may be. Lauren, you're unmuted, so I feel like that means you want to go.
So since I'm in my wellness era, and that's pretty much all I'm doing is just taking care of myself when I'm not working, I recently was at the med spa and she asked me about retinol and I had no idea what it was. I can tell a huge difference already. So that is a huge obsession of mine. Another one is Lush products. Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, but call us.
They give you like this glorious shower experience and all the smells are just amazing. I'll turn my water off and then I'll put my lotion on while I'm still like cooking in my shower curtain. Otherwise, I will never put it on. Those are two things. And then the third one is 90 Day Fiancé.
You're like, I started, so I can't stop. Is it like one of those shows that has a million episodes each season?
There's 20 episodes a season, and there's three or four different stories going at the same time. So if you're bored of one story, you have so much entertainment and so much stimulation. So I watched one whole season in like 4 days last week. But yeah, those are my three.
Love it. Amy, what have you got?
I love that. Number one, definitely kimchi. I eat kimchi with every meal. It's become a regular necessity in my day and my diet because it's so freaking tasty and spicy and crunchy. I would say I'm going to have to agree with you, Lauren, on skincare. I know I kind of talk about it a lot, but like I live for my Trader Joe's skincare. Also not sponsored, but hey, if you call us, I don't think Trader Joe's sponsors like anybody, but love their facial everything. And then the last thing I have to say is, and I think a lot of people might agree with me on this because the internet discourse around it is pretty large, but Real Housewives of Rhode Island is insane. I love and have always loved every franchise of Real Housewives, watch every single one. This is by far like the craziest beginning, and it's the first season. So that's where I stand on all my favorite things.
I'm loving these. So number one for me is comedian Chris Fleming. He has a new special out. He's just the funniest comedian I have seen in such a long time. So thought-provoking and interesting. Every interview I've seen of him, he just seems like the loveliest person. And I just cannot get enough. He's extremely hilarious. And you should definitely follow him and check it out. Number two is the television show Love on the Spectrum. I'm a big fan of both the original franchise, Australia, and the US version. I just love it. And season four did not disappoint at all. I was sobbing so hard at the finale of this latest season that I was borderline like hyperventilating. And it wasn't like in a bad way. It's one of those shows that makes me really, really emotional. It's a great example of a doc series that warms your heart and educates a lot of people. And I just love it. And then my last one is actually part of my birthday gift from ABC. Recently, she got me this incredible blanket, which is by Lola Blankets, which actually does sponsor What Came Next. And I love it so much that I reached out to our ad team and was like, can you get me sponsored by them? Because I am obsessed with this blanket. I love it so much. I look forward to it. At the end of the day, it's just the softest, most insane blanket. So thank you again, ABC. Legitimately the softest, coziest blanket ever.
I'm so happy that you love it. You and I are like tactile people. It feels just so nice.
I hear they have weighted ones too.
They do.
If I do end up working with them and I get a code, I'm definitely going to try the weighted one. I've never really had my own weighted blanket before, but Lauren, we got to get you on one of these blankets, girl.
Have you noticed how all of ours are like comfy girl items, TV shows, skincare?
It's nice to be a cozy girl. Okay. So thank you to all the listeners who submitted questions for us. Thank you to the people who reach out to us, DM us, send us emails, give us their feedback, thoughts, questions. We appreciate it. The first one is for all of us, and it is, how are you and how's your heart? Amy?
Anytime anyone's asked me that recently, I've kind of like had the same response. The world is kind of on fire, but in my own little bubble, I am okay. I'm happy. I'm healing. I'm doing all the things I need to do. The world around us is in a state, that's for sure. I always say that because I feel a bit guilty, like saying I'm good with a chipper attitude because I acknowledge everything always, but I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really well. 2025 was one of the hardest years I've had in a really long time, but this year has been a big year for healing for me. And I just feel like I'm in the best place mentally I've been in a really long time. I know we already talked about therapy and all that good stuff that's been adding to that equation. But also, yeah, just slowing down where I can. My kids are getting older. They're getting closer to college age. So it's really important to me over these next few years that I get to cherish as much of that time that I have left with them before they, quote, leave the nest. I've been spending a lot more time with the fam and the kids and the dogs, and that definitely boosts my mood, just trying to find more balance overall. And it feels like I've made some progress there. So I would say I'm doing really well. And like you said, the world is absolutely insane and heartbreaking constantly. I'm very thankful for all the blessings I have in my life that I get to wake up and work with y'all every day and the survivors we get to work with and work on the cool things that we get to work on. It's a huge blessing to be able to do what we do. Slowing down has helped me have even more gratitude for the blessings and the gifts in my life, and it's made me want to spend more time with those. What about you, Lauren?
I think you guys both had some amazing points. Everything around us is on fire, and being around family, you know, taking advantage of that. Those are two things that I can relate to. But my heart is having a roller coaster of emotions, and I think that's pretty much expected after everything that I've been through. The state of the world does not really help with that for me. That takes a huge toll on me, especially with my upbringing. I've just been on a creative journey with work, and that's what I do full time. So anytime that I'm not doing that, I try to be outside or try to have time with my family and pets as well. The more that I talk about the betrayal trauma, I think it shows up in more areas of my life than just with Jess. It showed up with the therapist and with religion, things like that, where it's just things I've believed for a long time. And now that I'm older, I'm starting to question things, and it's just all happening at once with everything going on in the world. The healing process has not been easy, but it's also just an accumulation of things that have happened.
Because you had trauma before that relationship. I don't want to speak for you, but it feels like in some way she weaponized that previous trauma as well with all of you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There are definitely some hard days and days where I really struggle, but I think we all do. So I'm just trying to handle it with grace.
And really, that's all we can do, and give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Always try to make the next right decision. Try to take what we learn forward. Friendship betrayal is something we'll be digging into a lot for season 26 and the different nuances and the different ways that that can look and feel for survivors of it. I do think it is a type of trauma that we tend to talk about less and examine a bit less, but I think it really impacts so many of us, especially women. I think friends are our family of choice, and we really invest a lot in our friends and in those relationships. Certainly, I've shared things with close girlfriends that I've never shared with people I dated. There's just a different level of vulnerability in those relationships. So it makes sense to me that it takes quite a bit of time to not only like grieve that, but then also deprogram the damage that has been done. It's tough.
Starting a business can feel incredibly overwhelming because suddenly you're expected to be the designer, customer service department, shipping manager, marketing team, all of it. That's why having the right tools matters. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from brands just getting started to household names. They make it easy to build a beautiful online store with ready-to-use templates that actually match your brand. And they help you get the word out with built-in email and social media marketing tools. Plus, you can tackle inventory, payments, analytics, and more, all in one place instead of juggling a million platforms. And if you get stuck, Shopify has award-winning 24/7 customer support. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/SWW. Go to shopify.com/SWW. That's shopify.com/SWW. I love a good treasure hunt, but I also love being able to search for those special finds while I'm out and about instead of spending an entire weekend digging through racks hoping for the best. I recently found the best unique vintage skirt on Poshmark that's giving full-on 80s baddie energy, and that's exactly why I love it. I'm much more of a smart thrifter these days. I'd rather invest in quality pieces with personality than buy the same disposable trends over and over. Poshmark is the leading fashion resale marketplace shaped by real people and real style. There are millions of new and pre-loved items from everyday staples to vintage and luxury fashion. Whether you're hunting a one-of-a-kind vintage find, archive-worthy pieces, or even brands like Betsy Johnson you thought you missed forever, they're all there. And when you're ready for a closet refresh, you can earn real money selling pieces you're ready to part with, reaching more than 80 million users on the platform. Find what feels like you. Shop and share your style on Poshmark today. New deals and styles are listed every day, so don't wait. Download the Poshmark app and use code SWW when you sign up to get $10 off your first purchase. Or shop now at poshmark.com/SWW and get $10 off your first purchase. That's poshmark.com/SWW. Thank you so much. We did our best to condense everybody's thoughts and questions and combine them so we're not missing anyone's question. If you weren't doing your job that you have now, what do you think you would be doing? Amy?
I think that after my book came out and after recording Something Was Wrong and being so impacted by that process and the release and the support and consequent projects that I've been a part of as a result directly of being on Something Was Wrong, I made that leap to kind of like pivot to do podcasting full time. Maybe if I wasn't podcasting, I'd be pouring into my writing with more vigor at the moment. But podcasting is storytelling. And right now, I don't want to focus on what I want to say. I think the gift of supporting other survivors and amplifying them has been just so vast.
What about an unpractical answer?
I would definitely be doing stained glass again. That would be just so ritualistic and healing and beautiful, and I'd love that.
I'd want to be on SNL. That to me just seems like the coolest job in the absolute world. You have to be creative on the spot. I love that. You get to be around funny people that are probably really dark humored too and have been through a lot of shit because that's the makeup of most people that are that funny. That to me would be the coolest job in the world, I think. Lauren, what's your practical and what's your like dream job?
Is it cheesy to say what I do now is kind of my dream job?
Not cheesy at all, because I feel similarly.
Same.
Yeah, I got my degree in psychology and criminology, and I wanted to do couples counseling for a bit when I was in college. So I maybe would dive into that a little bit.
I don't think I knew that you studied criminology.
And I love those classes. Those were my favorite ones. And I had one more. Another option would be just traveling for work, which I still want to do more of. And I can kind of incorporate that into my dream work now.
I love that. I'm already working my dream job, but SNL would be like an extremely fun way to tap into the more lighthearted parts of me. But I think if I wasn't doing this from like a more practical standpoint, likely producing in the entertainment industry elsewhere, behind the scenes, working on screen projects, documentary films, things of that nature. I could also see myself getting back into writing as well. But I think I'm the type of person, too, that always wants to try something new and challenge myself. So I could also see myself doing like a hard left turn and going to law school or something. You never know. This is a good question. I like that there was a good mix of fun questions as well as more serious questions. I'm a big fan of the fun questions. Favorite comfort meal? For me, I'll go first. I love a sandwich. I love picnic food. My family teases me. That's my favorite kind of food. I love a sandwich with like a pasta salad, with a crispy Diet Coke, with a bag of chips. That brings me comfort. What about you guys?
That sounded like perfection, but I would say for myself, my mom's chili over a huge roasted baked potato topped with cheese and onions, or her shepherd's pie. I'm like a warm, give me all the food in one bite kind of gal.
You would love Michael's shepherd's pie. He makes a really good one. Lauren?
My favorite comfort meal, I think it's a mac and cheese, cornbread, pinto bean, and like a slaw combo. My cousin's grandma, she used to make that, and it was like the most delicious thing. She would put it all on top of each other. Oh, and like some relish. It was good. It felt like home.
There's definitely some unique North Carolina foods that I got to try. I'm obsessed with the hush puppies that I had while I was there. They put butter on everything. God bless America. Okay, the next one is any good reads. My reader girls. Lauren, I know you're a big reader girl.
I've recently been reading Magnolia Parks. It's based in London. It's kind of like a toxic drama romance right now, but I heard it's supposed to get really good as it goes. It's going to be a TV show too. But I'm only on the first book. There's, I think, 5 of them. I like cozy thrillers based on the season that you're in. I like self-help books a lot. I like historical fiction as well.
What about you, Amy?
My kiddo has been reading a lot of Stephen King, so I revisited some with her. And that's been fun because I was a huge Stephen King fan as a kid. Usually what I read on my off time is thrillers, escapism. What about you? You all are always reading something.
I'm always reading like 5 different books. I hate that because I'm usually the type of person who likes to read one thing and just be fully dedicated to that. But like I read so much for work. And so I don't read as much for fun because a lot of the times the books that I'm drawn to are related to work as well. And then I end up going on vacation and bringing like a book that's really heavy. And my family's like, really? And so I picked up this book, Live from New York, because it's again about SNL. It's a complete uncensored history of Saturday Night Live as told by the stars, writers, and guests. So it's almost like a documentary book because everything in it is like a quote from someone, essentially. It really takes you through as like a historical standpoint from like the first season through current day when the book was written. It's by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales, but it's so interesting because you hear about like who was an asshole, who dated who, what was going on behind the scenes, learning about people that are super famous and hearing more about like the heart behind it and the ups and downs and stuff. So it's a really good lighter read if you're looking for something to kind of escape into. And then for work, I'm reading Games People Play, which is a psychology book from the 1960s. It's definitely interesting considering the stories that we're working on right now and learning a bit more about the psychology of lying and why people lie or do the things that they do.
Have y'all heard of post-infidelity stress disorder?
It's like a specific type of trauma from being cheated on.
Yeah, it happens to deal with betrayal trauma as well because I was looking up things. I'm always trying to find something like specifically related to my situation, and it's very unlikely, which is why the podcast is so good.
Thank you. And I think that's why it's so endlessly interesting too, because we are able to dig into so many topics, all of those nuances, and that we can find other people and have connected with so many other people that have experienced so many like unique things, but yet we come together and you feel less alone because you understand that maybe they haven't been through exactly the same thing as you, but they can understand the nuances of having gone through something that a lot of people can't understand. What would your childhood selves be thinking about the work you're doing?
in line with what we were just talking about. A pattern of nuanced abuse in these stories and seasons, something I've been dealing with since I was a kid. I didn't know these outlets existed, partially because they didn't at the time. It's always something I've been passionate about, but working with something was wrong. Something just clicked and the pieces fell into place.
I love that. Amy?
I probably would be just shocked. I think that I was living through a lot of stuff I didn't even share with my mom. So I don't think I ever would have thought I would have taken it publicly to whoever could find this platform and listen. I think that at first I'd be a little scared of the magnitude of sharing, but I'd ultimately be really, really proud. And I think it would probably save me a lot of grief and pain and heartache to know that I'd eventually become a part of this huge community that wants to heal and do better and support each other.
Yeah, I think my younger self is so, so proud of where I am now and what I've done with the hardships that I've faced. I think that's why I really try to make an effort to speak proudly about myself and share that I'm proud of myself, because I didn't have that growing up and I don't have parents who cheer me on. So I have to be that for myself. And I am really proud of myself and the work that I do and what I've accomplished and what our team has accomplished and the goals we continue to have. I'm also just really so proud of the team that we've built and the people involved in continuing the vision of the podcast. I know that everybody who works on our team really cares with their whole heart on every level. The people who work with us behind the scenes, we only surround ourselves with people who authentically care about this work and have hearts for it. And so when you're not only getting to do the work that you desire and love to do, but you also get to do it with like-minded individuals, it's really fulfilling. The legacy that we are able to leave for the next generation and to try and build a better world for our children and future generations and be able to connect with so many incredible people and meet so many survivors from all around the world who have lived through so many things that it has expanded my empathy, my understanding, my wisdom. It's grown so many parts of me. This might be a good time to read. One of the questions was about reflecting back on the last 7 years of the podcast. And I did write a few words down because it is important. When I think about the impact of the show, it really humbles me and it still blows my mind that it's something that we get to do. On a community level, this has become a space where people come to feel seen and to find language for what they've been through and to realize that they're not alone. And growing up, I felt so alone all the time. We hear from listeners all the time who say they didn't have the words for their experience until they heard someone else share theirs. And for listeners, I think it's helped people, including myself, better understand patterns about what abuse can look like, how manipulation works, and how complex these situations really are. It's created more awareness, more conversations, and hopefully more compassion. And within the industry, I think it's helped shift what true crime and storytelling can look like, moving away from sensationalism and towards something that's more intentional and more rooted in care and accountability. And at the end of the day, if this show has helped even one person feel less alone or do better or understand their experience better, then that's everything to me and to us. And when I think about the breadth of what we've covered on Something Was Wrong over all of these years, it really spans so much of our human experience. We've told stories about emotional abuse, coercive control, gaslighting. Those early seasons where so many people were just hearing those terms for the first time and realizing, oh, that's happening to me. We've covered domestic violence, sexual violence, deception, fraud, identity, manipulation, people living entire double lives. We've talked about harm within families, friendships, communities. And as the show has grown, we've also gone deeper into systems like Title IX, the medical system, the troubled teen industry, and really looking at where those institutions are failing people or don't protect us the way they should. But through it all, the through line has always been the same. It's been about centering survivors' voices, naming harm clearly, and creating space for people to be seen, understood, and maybe feel a little less alone. So thank you guys for being here and for being such a huge part of that. Here's to the next 7 years. I'm very excited. Honestly, my younger self would have absolutely benefited from a banking option that didn't feel designed to nickel and dime me. Because if you've ever been hit with random fees or had your balance cut way too close at the worst possible moment, you know how stressful that can be. Chime is changing the way people bank with fee-free banking built for you, not traditional banks that charge overdraft and monthly fees. With SpotMe, eligible members can overdraft up to $200 fee-free, which is such a game changer in a pinch. I also appreciate that Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service, with real humans available 24/7, because when you need help, you need actual help. Chime is not just smarter banking, it's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/SWW. That's chime.com/SWW. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Chime's bank partners. Original products and services may have fees or charges. For more information on SpotMe, go to chime.com/disclosures. Thank you.
Something Was Wrong is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
As empathetic people, what is the hardest part for covering such heavy stories?
Honestly, I think the heaviest part of receiving each story and like processing it is realizing how prevalent and persistent most of these topics that we cover are. Each story is so unique, but very sadly, each of us is, in another view, a statistic. So I think that sometimes it feels like climbing up a hill and every like force of weather working upon us, but at least we're like moving up that hill, I think. That's definitely the hardest part.
What about for you, Lauren?
As a team member, but also as a survivor telling my own story, just being able to relate to a lot of people's stories in one way or another, which is a good thing as well, but it is something that can hurt sometimes.
Yeah, it is really painful and it's still important. But for me, I think the hardest part is sitting with certain topics. And the other part that has been the most difficult for me to learn to live with on a consistent basis, doing the job for a prolonged period of time, you have to kind of look at it as a marathon, not a sprint. I think when I look at like what's the most emotionally draining or difficult for me related to doing this work, I would say it's the systemic injustices that are the hardest for me. I don't just think about the survivors that are connecting with us and sharing with us because we're looking at the statistics and the trends and then knowing that the system is essentially failing so many people. That for me creates a sort of heartbreak that's really hard, and something that I have been working on a lot in therapy is what do I do with that energy that is created from the grief of the societal injustices and the things that feel really hard and out of our control and persistent. It is exhausting if we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not being mindful about being in that one moment with the survivor. Okay, this one's kind of a behind the scenes for everyone question. About how long does it take for us to create each episode? A non-answer answer to start with is every episode is so different. It really depends on the story or the episode and what the episode is containing. I would say some seasons we prep for 6 months leading up to when it goes live. Sometimes it's years that we're working on a story. Season 26, this upcoming season, is a really great example of that. we started talking a few years ago and we've discovered so much over the years. There's been a lot of continued motion. We've been slow to bring the story forward because there have been so many developments. And so it just depends. It's obviously easier to tell a story when there has been a trial and a verdict and prior news coverage and all of those things that make it easier. Original reporting takes much longer, but we all work full time, more than full time, and we're constantly working on multiple stories. So yeah, it takes a lot of time. And a lot of work goes into the editing. Becca does such a great job making it sound so seamless that tightens up all of our language and takes away our filler words and all sorts of stuff and cleans it up. So a lot of time goes into the actual physical construction, as well as adding the music and removing all of our coughing and breaths, plus the pre-interviews that we do with folks and all that stuff too, going through submissions. And then there's the fact-checking and the legal consulting. The business end of things, we have to make money to be able to afford to pay all of our team and all of those people. So we have to meet with brands or our agents or other people that are in the business end of things to make sure that we're able to continue the show. There's so much that we do behind the scenes.
For what came next, we obviously have a little bit of a quicker turnaround. So I'd say on average, considering all the things you just beautifully explained, like pre-interviews and planning and all of that, I would say like generally it takes about a month and a half per episode from very, very start to episode going out. But sometimes it takes up to a year. Nicole Schmidt, who runs the Gabby Petito Foundation and does such an amazing job honoring her daughter every day, we were in talks for an episode for about a year. So yeah, it really does vary, like you said.
And sometimes too, like there's been subjects like the troubled teen industry or some of these more specific seasons where certain survivors had written in and significant time had passed before we reached out to them because we were going into our database and like searching for specific keywords. So sometimes there can be like significant developments in the time between when somebody submits something and when we publish. It's very different depending on each episode, but we put so much time and care into every single one, and we love doing it.
To add to that, once an episode goes out, it doesn't sever the ties between us and the survivors that we're amplifying or supporting. And so I feel like sometimes the episodes are forever because a lot of times we're cultivating relationships, keeping in touch and finding out updates eventually and all the things. So yeah, it's ever evolving, as you mentioned as well.
This next question is a little bit spicy. It's how do you deal with constant backlash and negativity? I would say for me, it doesn't feel like constant backlash and negativity because I am very selective about where I spend my time online and the ways that I interact with feedback. I read emails that come in and things like that, but I'm not one to read reviews or comments unless for some reason it's like sent to me or there's like an issue that needs to be addressed or something like that, like maybe a safety or security issue, but that's not very common at all. So I would say I'm working on stuff where it's always going to be really like nuanced and dynamic and knowing that it's the internet and people are always going to like have a lot of opinions. I think it's something you definitely have to like build a callus for. And thankfully, I'm in a much better place with that today than I've been in years past. And I think the early seasons and years, it's something that just takes time to get used to, takes time to figure out what the right boundaries for you are, what's the best way for you to get feedback, what's the best way for you to communicate with your team about certain things or handle certain legal issues. I think I used to like let people kind of push me around a lot more. And honestly, I would take to heart a lot of shit that really I didn't need to be taking to heart or like feeling bad because somebody was upset or misunderstood something or things like that. I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't have empathy and care about the impact I have on other people. And that's why I care what people think of me and the work that I do, because I care about the impact I leave on other people and I care about other people's experiences and I don't want to harm other people. But I have learned so much over the years. I've gained a lot of insight through the things that listeners share with us, through the things that survivors share with us. I think that everybody is going to digest the content that we bring through their own lens and through their own experiences and through their own truth. And that's valid and that's okay. And it doesn't have to be the same as myself or anyone else. And it isn't a personal criticism or attack on me or the show. Most of the time, it's more about people's feelings about the topics and the things that we're digging into. And they're very uncomfortable and dynamic and emotional topics. Real art creates conversation, and I welcome that. And I think that conversation is an important part of our community and growing our own understanding as well as other people's. Maybe I used to feel that way, that it was constant negativity or like we could never win. But like now I can see more, that's life. That is what it is. And it's not against me. It's not like a personal thing to me. It's just literally how the internet is, how life is. Lauren, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say to the haters, we won a Webby, you know?
Yeah, we just won Best Documentary Podcast. It's not about winning awards, but it shows that you can't be for everyone, but certain people are going to get what you're trying to accomplish and they'll appreciate it. Documentary long form storytelling isn't for everyone, and that's okay. And that's so valid. But the people who get it and the people who enjoy it, that's who we're here for. I think I'm just able to take that a lot less personally now. Amy, what were you going to say?
It's a really interesting question, actually. I do have to say something I'm personally working through right now is, you know, I've shared my story on so many platforms at this point. What's really saddened me and angered me and kind of frightened me because of mob mentality and things like that, the more I share my story, the more people are like, oh, this woman is just weird. This woman sounds rehearsed. She had something to do with it. I am actually just trying to help other victims, honor my mom, of course, and also like keep my brother in prison. And the reality is that I'm a survivor who is public. So I am posting and I am reading and I am out there. It's harmful. I don't usually engage in those conversations because I do see a lot of people leaving comments that are in response and very, very supportive. But it's shocking and appalling and it makes the work a lot harder. That's the most painful shit. So any feedback about a show, about someone being upset about like anything they want to complain about, I listen with an empathetic heart, like you were saying. But what really gets to me and pierces my armor is deeply personal. I just like never thought that would even be a byproduct. It's just a reality and a point of like what came next. Bringing attention to how hard it is to put ourselves in the media and to continue this work. But building that fortress around us really does help.
How cruel and painful. My God, I'm so sorry. Not all of it is constructive. Some of it is just bot behavior. Some of it is so appalling. I recently read a statistic that said that around 76% of high-performing women receive negative feedback compared to only 2% of high-achieving men. This comes from data collected from 23,000 employees across 250 organizations. And the source is Tuxedo, which analyzed performance reviews of more than 23,000 workers across over 250 organizations. If you look at podcast reviews, you'll see it, and it's clear as day. The way women are rated and reviewed and criticized is just different.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's important. And I think part of that is empathy.
People aren't realizing that these are real people. They just see these people as characters.
The stark contrast between reality and some people's hot takes. It took me a long time to let people be wrong and loud about me. And that is the hardest part, I think, is when you know people are just wrong. If you have valid concerns or feedback or opinions, by all means, but it's when people are just like cruel for no reason or when they are just so fucked up towards the survivors, it just really bothers me. And so the best way I learned how to deal with that is to just remove it from my life as much as possible.
Something Was Wrong is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Okay, switching gears a little bit here. This one's a heavy one too. Has there been a season you regret? If so, why? And I will say, absolutely not. However, are there certain things I would have done differently as a creator? Yeah. Is there feedback that I received that I was like, valid, I probably should have done that, or I probably should have added that, or I could see why people got confused by that? And you learn, and you take it, and you grow, and you keep trying to make it better. These last few years, we've produced some of what I feel is our like highest quality production-wise content. We continue to get better and better from a creative standpoint. I'm proud of our growth over time. And part of this job is growing in the public eye and over time being an independent creator and somebody who has just had the path that I have. It's different when you're doing things independently. There's no seasons or stories that I regret telling. I feel blessed and honored every single time someone is willing to trust us and share. But I definitely have learned along the way, and I would do certain things differently. And that's just a part of the process. Okay, this one's more fun. What's your favorite song?
Have you guys heard of Noah Kahan's new album?
I don't know who that is. He's going to be on SNL this coming up.
Oh my God, he's so good. And his new album just came out. The album is also just for Sad Girl Summer. It's that kind of music that just makes you feel everything. I love that type of music, even if I'm not sad. The song is called Dashboard. That is my favorite song right now.
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Prince. That's not new, but I'm just really into Prince right now, I will say. So any Prince song, basically. What about you, Amy?
I have a permanently favorite song of all time. It'll probably never change unless something takes it out, but nothing could. It's I've Got to Break Free by Queen. It's like the iconic music video where he is in a leather skirt and a pink top vacuuming. And it's just the most iconic music video and song, and nothing can beat it.
Love that. I'm also listening to Megan Thee Stallion on repeat because our girl needs us right now. And I'm just trying to run it up. Switching gears a little bit here. It says, what are some of the most surreal moments you've had since starting the show? The moments that made you say, holy shit, and super proud. Most recently winning the Webby Award. That was definitely a holy shit moment. I saw the news at 6:30 in the morning and I definitely screamed in bed, made the dogs bark, but I was like that excited. Some of the other really surreal moments have been like meeting celebrities or hearing celebrities listen to the show, or that it's reached somebody that I grew up watching or listening to or something like that. Hearing that still blows my mind, never ceases to amaze me. When we had a billboard in Times Square when we were with Wondery, that was crazy. It was only because Amazon had the billboard that we were able to like do it. And it was part of our contract that we were able to like get the space. Never in my wildest dreams. I do kind of regret not going and seeing it in person. I was just so busy at the time with work that I didn't feel like I could justify flying there just to take a picture with it. When we went number one, that was definitely a surreal moment. I'll never forget walking around my backyard and just being like, what the actual fuck is happening? Like, that was probably the most surreal moment of the whole experience so far. Those are some of the just behind the scenes ones. Also, anytime we finish a trailer or I hear an episode back, it feels like a surreal moment because so much work and heart goes into every single episode that when I finally listen to that final draft, because we always listen to lots of drafts before we get that final draft, to hear it all come together every week, it always kind of blows me away. Amy, what about you?
There have been many surreal moments, like meeting listeners at the live events. I'll like be at the front checking them in and I'll be like, hi, I'm Amy, welcome. And they'll be like, Amy from season 7. And that just always feels so surreal. There have been a couple What Came Next interviews that have been released. For instance, one where a woman came on the show and spoke about her sister's murder as a result of kind of a random attack at a party. And somebody that was at that party that night in the 1980s wrote in and shared as a listener. Sometimes the reach and just the right person hears the story, that always kind of blows my mind when that happens.
Or getting an email that says, because of this podcast, you saved my daughter's life. It's just so surreal. Lauren, what about for you? Has it been kind of odd given that so many people where you live listen to the podcast and recognize you from TikTok?
Yeah, the reach that specifically my episodes got in my small town, the victims as well coming forward that have been affected by Jess, we still get them and we still get people that are somehow in her bubble that have met her or something. I had messages when my season was going from Australia. That just has always blown my mind.
Yeah, the reach is wild too to think about. As we mentioned earlier, season 26 focuses on a very different kind of betrayal, friendship betrayal. Friendship betrayal can be one of the most devastating forms of trauma a person experiences. Yet it's often one of the least understood and least discussed. Unlike romantic heartbreak, friendship betrayal is rarely or publicly acknowledged in the same way. There are no clear rituals for grieving it, no cultural scripts for making sense of the devastation that follows when someone you trusted deeply becomes the source of your harm. Because friendship is often where we feel safest. And friendship isn't just nice to have. For most people, it's central to our well-being. In fact, according to Pew Research, 61% of U.S. adults say close friendships are extremely to very important to living a fulfilling life, higher than marriage, children, or money. These are the people we confide in, the people we defend, the people we welcome into our homes, communities, and our most vulnerable moments. Best friends can become the family we choose, and when that trust is exploited, the fallout can be uniquely destabilizing. On season 26 of Something Was Wrong, we explore stories of betrayal by trusted people, where friendship, faith, emotional intimacy, and chosen family become the very mechanisms through which harm is inflicted. Through survivor stories of manipulation, deception, abuse, and profound relational betrayal, this season examines what happens when the people we believed were safe prove otherwise. Because sometimes the most dangerous people aren't strangers. Sometimes they're the people we loved. In chapter one, we'll meet Marie. Marie was a devoted woman, deeply rooted in her faith, her family, and her church community. She never imagined that someone she knew and trusted, a pastor, a respected spiritual leader, and a close friend within her family's inner circle, would become the source of unimaginable harm. What followed was not only deeply personal betrayal, but a painful collision with systems survivors are often told exist to protect them. Marie's story examines the devastating fallout of betrayal from someone viewed as morally trustworthy, the unique harms that can emerge within insular faith communities, and the profound secondary trauma survivors can experience while seeking justice. In chapter two, we'll meet Summer and Daniel. What began as an ordinary friendship between classmates eventually unraveled into something far more disturbing. Built on shared faith, emotional intimacy, and trust, the relationships at the center of this story initially appeared deeply supportive and genuine. But over time, unsettling cracks began to show. Medical emergencies that never seemed to add up. Claims that inspired concern, protection, and unwavering support. Then the story became stranger. A pregnancy, escalating events, disturbing allegations, an increasingly tangled web of deception that left those closest to the situation questioning not only what was true, but whether the relationships themselves had ever been what they seemed. Set against the backdrop of a strict Christian college environment, where trust, image, and community shaped nearly every interaction, this chapter explores manipulation, emotional abuse, coercive deception, and the devastating grief that follows discovering someone you love may never have been who they claim to be. Because beneath the shocking twists is something deeply human. The pain of realizing the friendship you were grieving may have never truly existed at all. Something Was Wrong Season 26 begins Thursday, June 11th, 2026. Thank you so much to each and every survivor and guest for sharing their experiences with us. And thank you for listening. Something Was Wrong is a Broken Cycle Media production created and executively produced by Tiffany Reese. Thank you endlessly to our team. Associate producer, Amy B. Chesler. Social media marketing manager, Lauren Barkman. Graphic artist, Sarah Stewart. And audio engineers, Becca High and Stephen Wack. Marissa and Travis at WME, Audio Boom, and our legal and security partners. Thank you so much to the incredibly talented Abayomi Lewis for this season's gorgeous cover of Glad Rag's original song, You Think You, from their album, Wonder Under. Thank you to music producer Janice J.P. Pacheco for their work on this cover, recorded at the Grill Studios in Emeryville, California. Find all artists' socials linked in the episode notes to support and hear more. If you'd like to share your story with us, please head to somethingwaswrong.com. If you would like to help support the show, you can subscribe and listen ad-free on Apple Podcasts, purchase a sticker from our sticker shop at brokencyclemedia.com, share the podcast with a loved one, or leave us a review. Want to stay up to date with us? Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Something Was Wrong Podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay safe, friends.